It's a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for coming. You are an eminent choral conductor, and you have been for years and years, and you interpret and conduct Baroque music, but particularly Bach. And I wanted to ask you, this has been your life's work, why do you find his music so endlessly fascinating?
Bach certainly is one of the most important composers of music history, also of choral music. And looking at his music, listening to his music, is just great. You hear wonderful structures, you hear a great architecture of music, but you also hear beautiful sounds, beautiful melodies. And when we talk about melodies in Bach, mostly these melodies are chorales. So many of the motets we are going to do this week here with the students of Temple University are connected with chorales.
What is it that you would like to bring across with the motets? I hear that they're very difficult.
They are difficult to perform, but they are also very beautiful. And every one of them is a unique jewel. Bach did not write so many motets as he did cantatas. Cantatas he has written over 200. Motets, we have only not even 10 motets.
And what will you tell the students when you are preparing them?
Well, the students will have to know and experience that these motets belong to the most important pieces which Bach ever has written. This is due to the fact that in his usual work, he did rarely have all his students singing or playing with him, because he had to serve as in his profession as a cantor in Leipzig, all the churches of his town. And so he had to divide up his groups. But in the motets, he had the chance to use all of them. And so we are doing his four double choir motets, which are written for 2 4-part choirs, even together with instruments. And this makes them big pieces, great pieces. The usual chorales in Bach's Passions, St. Matthew, or the St. John, or in his cantatas, are 4-part pieces, just soprano, contralto, tenor, bass. Now he has twice this size. And of course, the architecture and the ideas which he has using 2 choirs are very unique.
And in his time, how large would those 2 choirs have been? How many singers?
Well, altogether, he had perhaps around 30, which for him was very much. Usually, as I say, they sing, I think, mostly just 4 people. This is beautiful to have a small group for that. Of course, you can do that also with larger choirs, but it becomes clearer and more understandable, more chamber music-like with a small group.
If you're a layperson coming to this concert on Saturday night, other than the beauty of the music, is there something that an ordinary person can listen for, a layperson?
Of course, a person not very familiar with this kind of music will encounter a wonderful connection of text and music. Bach always expresses the words of the text, which mostly are words from the Bible, or as I have said, from chorales, and he will always put a music around these words which explains the music, makes the music more special, makes the words more important, and certainly the young people will enjoy that.
Bach taps into such a range of emotions, joy, despair, contemplation, a chain of these different feelings. At least that's the way he strikes me. Do you feel that way too?
Bach, again, I have to say, follows the text. If the text is full of joy, like a song of praise, as in many of these motets, then it will be joyful and the music will be sometimes dance-like and even very full of vitality. And there are other moments where Bach steps back and puts the music to a sound of sorrow, of sadness. And this is especially true in these motets, as they were written mostly for funerals.
You've conducted now for 50 years or more. So what made you want to do this?
Well, you mentioned Bach, and knowing Bach was a miracle for me and still is. And performing vocal music, just in general, for me is very important. Let me say one thing which leads us to our concert this week. When I came the very first time to this country, to the United States, I came to Temple University here in Philadelphia, invited by Elaine Brown, the wonderful choir director, educator, teacher, and I can say personal friend of mine. This was the first time I came here, and what did we do? The Bach motets. So I come back after many years to my very beginnings here, and I highly appreciate that invitation.
One of the things I've read about you is that you're not, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're not so concerned that Bach be performed the way he would have been during his time. You will use a big choir and you use modern instrumentation. Could you tell me more about that?
Of course, it's very important that you always try to find out how Bach perhaps has done these pieces. And of course, we know very little about that. Bach very rarely spoke about how he performed his music. We can see things, of course, from his dynamics, from his articulations, also from tempo markings. We have tempo markings. And so we can find out the style in which Bach performed. But I think this sounds perhaps a little strange, that it's not so important to perform like Bach did. This is because Bach has changed his people with his music. But since that time, also the people have changed. We today, of course, we listen with completely different ears.
You've conducted all over the world. You performed in Israel and the former East Germany. Did you see that as a kind of musical outreach?
Of course. Music is something wonderful which can connect people all over the world. And if you are in Asia, nowadays, they will enjoy Bach in the same way and with a lot of enthusiasm as they do in Europe or here in the United States. So it's wonderful to have such a connection.
When you have taught conducting, what is it you try to convey to any of your students? Because you've also taught conducting for a long time.
Well, as a conductor, you are always the servant of the composer. So I am Bach's servant, performing his music, making his music understood to people even today.
Would I be accurate in saying that you might consider yourself a vessel for Bach's genius or artistry?
Well, it's very poetic.
I'm more
thinking of doing the correct things which Bach needs to have his music understood.
And can you give me just an example of one or two of those correct things that happen frequently that you are always striving for?
Well, you have to make clear an architecture of a piece. This you can do with different tempis, different dynamics, and you have in detail to make clear the understanding of the text in Bach's language. This you can do with articulation, with the text well spoken and used. Now I use your word vessel for the meaning of the music.
It's not that easy of a thing to do properly, is it?
No, it's not easy.
Do you feel...
It's a beautiful profession to do it. And also for those students who learn how to translate the text into music, it's a wonderful challenge to find out the ways to do that, not only correctly, but always with a lot of emotion.
And do you feel like your approach to Bach has deepened over time, or what are you knowing and consciously doing differently?
It's a very correct and important question. I think one has always to change. One can see in Bach's own music that he changed. His earlier works are different from his last works, like say, the B minor mass or the art of the fugue. And to change opinion is always to underline certain aspects which you have perhaps before not seen or thought they are not that important. And so I think every performance which you do of the same pieces should be different from what you have done before. It should always be alive, aimed at the people performing and aimed at the audience listening.
And do you feel over these many years you've been able to do that?
I've always tried and never will go on trying.
Thank you very much, Professor Rilling. I really appreciate talking to you.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.